Welcome to The Word in 10, a podcast from Dwell Community Church. My name is Chris Risley, and this is the final in a four-part series on Peter's introduction in his letter, 1 Peter, to some churches in a widespread area. We looked at different perspectives on this life based on who we are, and in the final couple of verses here, verses 6 through 9, Peter's talking about how that has an impact on how we live this life and how we go through some suffering. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, Peter says, "In all of this, in the fact that we know that we don't belong here and that we're headed for heaven, he says, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." And so as much as Peter's talking about what we have to look forward to in the next life, he acknowledges that there are a lot of trials in this life that are distressing. He says, now, though for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. I wish I could decide which trials were necessary. That's not the way that it goes. But Peter's saying things come up in this life that are really difficult. We experience all sorts of trials, whether it's physical ailments, illnesses or lingering injuries that just cause a lot of pain and suffering, financial struggles, painful situations with family or friends, just the regular weariness and busyness of life. If you're waiting on God, desiring something good that God has not given to you yet, all of this can be very distressing. And Peter acknowledges that. And yet, even at the same time, he says that we greatly rejoice. And at first, it feels like, what, we're just supposed to be happy during trials? No, that's not precisely what he's saying. And it can be helpful to consider, well, what are the alternatives to rejoicing? If we're not choosing to rejoice in our trials, we're going to end up complaining a lot and very bitter at other people or at God. We could freak out and feel like God has abandoned us or that something's really wrong that we're going through this. We could just check out and find ways to distract ourselves and not think about what's going on. We could become cynical and just close our hearts off from God and to other people. And so Peter is offering an alternative to those natural choices that we have. He's saying that we could find ways to rejoice. And so what he does next is he offers a perspective on our trials that enables us to rejoice. He's saying so that the proof or genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's drawing an imagery from the refining of gold. When they would mine gold, you then have to heat gold up to an unimaginable temperature so that the impurities can rise to the surface and be skimmed off. In fact, it turns out that one metric ton of gold, which is 2,200 pounds, if you can mine 2,200 pounds of ore, that will yield, after the refining process, 1.5 grams of gold. I have seen some estimates as high as 7 grams. That's still not a lot of gold. There are a lot of impurities mixed in there. And so they have to grind the ore to powder and then heat the gold up to over 1,900 degrees, which I'm sure is far hotter than the gold ever desired to get heated up to. And that's part of what happens in our life is sufferings are a fiery trial that we go through. And the point is that it causes the impurities in our faith to rise to the surface. It's in the process of going through suffering that we learn the wrong beliefs that we have about God, that we learn where the weaknesses in our character are, that we learn how it is that we don't really depend on God. And so often it feels like, oh, that must mean that something's wrong. And God's saying, no, this is the exact process that I'm trying to take you through, because those things were there the whole time. And it wasn't until you went through suffering that you see where the problems are. God is doing this for your benefit. And in fact, Christians who never go through suffering, or at least allow themselves to go through suffering, who just check out or run away, well, these are Christians who never really learn how to depend on God. And they tend to have shallow, easy answers for people. They have low empathy. They can't really relate to other people as they're going through things that are really difficult and painful. And they certainly can't handle suffering when it does happen. So as tempted as I can be to run away when suffering is happening, I want to be the type of person that other people can come to when they're going through something difficult. And the only way to be that type of person is to go through the suffering myself. In fact, one of the saddest things about Christians who are terrified of suffering and avoid it at all costs is they miss out on the deeper relationships that only come from going through suffering together. Some of my deepest friendships are friendships with people through whom we have been through very difficult trials and tribulations in our lives. And even when we don't talk about it, there's just a memory of that time that was so confusing, that time that was so difficult, that time that was so painful. And although we're not happy that we went through that together, at the same time, there's a richness and a depth that comes from enduring together. Now, if you're a parent, it might be easy to believe this for yourself, but it's a lot harder to believe when you have kids. It's very painful and difficult to watch them go through suffering. And so you have a choice. Are you going to rush in and alleviate every bit of pain that they might ever go through so that their life is as easy as possible? Or are you going to ask God for wisdom and direction as to what you should do? He is a parent. He's our perfect, loving Father. And there are times that in His love, He does not rush in and fix things. He's with us through it, and He loves us and provides for us, but He doesn't eliminate all pain. And so there will be things that your kids will go through that may be excruciating for you to watch, but the best thing you might be able to do for them is to walk through it with them as opposed to trying to fix it for them. So if you're in the midst of suffering, if you're in the midst of a fiery trial, if you're being tested, what can you do? Well, I would encourage you to ask God for wisdom on your suffering. He can give you a perspective on it. And sometimes the best perspective He can give us is to remind us of how short our suffering is, that a time is coming when we will never have to suffer again. But there will also be ways in which He will open up new passages in the Word to you that you never would have appreciated if you hadn't gone through what it is that you're going through. Now, I read the book of Job multiple times as a young Christian, didn't really understand it until I went through some times of very painful suffering, and the book of Job became a lifeline to me. And I'm not glad that I went through those difficult times, but I'm so grateful for the understanding of various passages that have come about as a result of those times. I would also encourage you to find some friends who will pray for you and pray with you. God never designed you to go through suffering on your own. Yes, He is there with you, but He's also provided other people who can listen, who can pray, who can be helpful during these times, even if they can't fix it. This is part of God's provision for you. And then meditate on scriptures like these. This is why Peter wrote this. He was writing to people that were going through things that were difficult. And so obtaining God's perspective on our suffering can be what enables us to rejoice. And that's what Peter wraps up with in this little section. He says, though you have not seen Him, that is Christ, you love Him. And though you don't see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Part of what enabled Peter to endure suffering was he saw what Christ had gone through for him. He knew that Christ understood suffering, and he wanted his readers to have the same perspective on suffering that he was able to have. And so I encourage you, again, turn to passages like this and other passages. Believe that God has something good that He wants to bring out of your suffering, and ask Him for wisdom as to how you can respond. Thanks for listening. For more resources like this, visit dwellcc.org.